Would you turn with me to a passage of scripture that popped into my mind this week? The book of Jude, the only chapter, verses 20 through 25. Just give you a second to turn there. Amen. And let's read it together this evening. It says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." And amen. Let's take a moment to pray tonight. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your goodness, your many wonderful blessings. God, you've been so, so good to us time and time again. I pray have your way in the remainder of this service, God. Let your will be accomplished. Let your word be spoken. God, I pray that you'd use me to communicate effectively what you want everyone to hear. Lord, help us to hear your word in our hearts and in our minds, God, and let it grab hold of us, Lord, and transform us and draw us closer to you today. Lord, have your way, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated this evening. Amen. That was one of those passages of scripture that just popped in my head this week. And I believe it's a message for us tonight. I believe God wants to tell us something tonight. I particularly want to focus on the middle part where it says, "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, and hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." So before we get into this, before we dig into this passage, let me ask you a simple question. Have you ever tried something new that you ended up really loving? Okay? I'm sure everybody has. At one point, I picked up a guitar, and it changed my life forever. I really loved it, and I've never stopped doing it, and I can't imagine myself ever stopping doing it. At some point, Pastor Price drove his first Toyota, and his life was forever changed. I don't think he's looked back, and he's not going to, as far as I can tell. And maybe he will. Maybe he'll find something else, and it'll change his life again. But for now, it's Toyota all the way. If you look in his parking lot, his driveway at home, you're going to see not one, not two, but three Toyotas. Amen, because Sister Price has one too, and Rebecca has one too. They're a Toyota family. Amen. Amen. I have a cousin who lives in Ottawa. I'm pretty proud of him today because today he just won the Champions Trophy for his golf club. Amen. So that's pretty awesome. I'm very happy for him. At some point, he picked up a golf club and his life was forever changed. He loves it. He sticks with it. He works on it. It can even be something very small. I learned once that pizza should be cut with scissors. Yeah, you're all looking at me sideways. Try it. You will never go back. I'm never going back to those round cutters. You try to cut the pizza, it gets stuck. It doesn't. It just flattens the middle. It does nothing good. When you... So my friend told me, try scissors. It works so much better. And I was a skeptic. I said, there's no way that this is going to work. But to humor them, I said, sure, I'll try it. I'm never going back to those round, useless, whatever they are. Amen. And I like pizza, so I'm never going back. And it's these things that we get excited about. And it's things like that. I think believers ought to be like that about Jesus. Amen. I want to be excited about Jesus. My life has changed and I'm never going back. I think that should be our attitude about Jesus, about grace, about the cross. We need to be like these people. We need to be like Pastor Price with Toyotas, but times 10,000. We need to be to the ultimate degree. I'm excited about Jesus and I'm never going back. I'm so glad that he saved me. There's nothing like knowing the mercy and the grace, the forgiveness of Christ in your life. There's nothing like having a transformed life when your spirit, when your heart, your mind are changed by the presence and the power of God. There is nothing like it. And let me encourage you, church, don't ever look back to the way things used to be. Don't spend too much time thinking about the good old days without remembering that they really weren't that good. Amen. Sometimes we look at the past and we look with rose-colored glasses when we only see the fun times and how things used to be so great, and we forget all the trouble we got into trying to do things our own way and all the pain and the heartache and the heartbrokenness and the struggles we had to go through. Oh, but when Jesus comes into our lives, oh, when Jesus makes the difference, I'm transformed from the inside out. I can speak of joy that cannot be described. I can speak of a peace that passes understanding. Amen. I can tell you about a God who loves you because he loved me. Hallelujah. Amen. I think believers ought to be like that about Jesus. Is when Jesus is in our lives, I want to be Jesus-centric. I want to be a little bit Jesus-crazy. I want to be excited about the gospel. I want to be excited about church. I want to be excited about worship. I want to go to the house of God and be glad that they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I think too many times believers get into the routine of Christianity. I feel like too many times believers get into the nuts and bolts, the going through the motions side of Christianity. And there is actually something to be said for that. Don't get me wrong. There is something to be said for having a solid Christian routine. Okay? There is something to be said for routinely going to church. That's fantastic. But it can never just be about that. There's got to be something in my heart that burns for Jesus, that burns for his word, and that burns for the goodness of God in my life. Amen. A hallmark of people who've had their lives changed and are excited about it is that they tell other people. If you are talking, again, I'm picking on Pastor tonight, I'm not sure why, but if you talk to him about what kind of a phone you should get, I can tell you what he is going to tell you. He's going to tell you, get an iPhone. Why? Because they just work. That's what he'll tell you. Amen. See, there you go. And when people have had their lives changed, when people are excited about something, they get vocal about it. They talk about it. They let you know what they love. They let you know what they're excited about. People tell other people what's going on. When people ask, what's going on in your life? What's going on today? You're going to tell them the most exciting thing that's happened to you lately. Right? But for the believer, the most exciting thing that happened to us every day is Jesus changed my life. Amen. How much more should we be telling people what Jesus has done in our lives? How much more should we be telling people about the gospel, that Jesus still saves? Look, it might not be the popular idea in society today, but as far as God is concerned, nothing's changed. Jesus still saves. Amen. When I was miserable, Jesus was the one who made me happy. It wasn't a drug. It wasn't a pill. It wasn't a 12-step program. It's when I got in the presence of God and things began to change. When he took my heart and transformed it from what it used to be to what it could be. Amen. When Jesus begins to remake us in his image, it's exciting, church. So how do we do it? How do we let people know what we believe? How do we let people know where we stand? How do we let people know exactly how happy we are about Jesus? I'm happy about Jesus. Let's check out Mark 8:36. This is very important. Jesus told them, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" The first thing we need to do is make sure that we are walking with God every day. First thing that we need to do is make sure that we are right with God. Amen. We need to have repented. We need to have been baptized in Jesus' name. We need to have been filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to make sure that we are right with God. It's crucial. It's critical. It's biblical. It's commanded. It'll benefit you for the rest of your life. Make sure you're walking with God. Make sure if you've had sin in your life that you're repented of it. You get it out of your life. If you haven't been baptized, let me issue an early invitation this evening. We have a beautiful new baptismal, and you can be baptized in Jesus' name and have your sins of your past washed away and start a new life. Amen. You don't have to spend 3 weeks making up your mind or 3 years. You can do that today. Amen. Once you've repented of your sins, there's no need to wait. Let me encourage you. Get baptized. You won't regret it. It's the answer of a clean conscience towards God. Amen. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I can't stress this enough, church. You need the Holy Spirit. If you try to do things on your own, you will falter. If you try to do things according to the power of God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God in your life, then you're going to have victory and overcome in power. You're going to have truth. You're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. When you let the Holy Ghost guide you and direct your steps, you are on firm footing. Amen. Make sure you're walking in holiness, church. Make sure you're living for God, church. Make sure your words and your attitudes reflect Christ. Make sure your every action reflects Christ. Whether people are watching you or people are not watching you. Amen. Because when people are watching you, it's called being an example. And when people are not watching you, it's called integrity. Make sure that your actions reflect Jesus Christ in the world. Make sure the way that you dress is godly and appropriate. Amen. Make sure that your attitude is godly and appropriate. Amen. Make sure that your prayers are godly and appropriate. Amen. When somebody's giving you a hard time, you're tempted to either pray against them or not pray for them. Pray for them. Amen. Lord, drop a house on them. They deserve it. Well, what kind of a world would it be if we all got what we deserved? Amen. Amen. Make sure you get the Bible, the Word of God, in your heart. Amen. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." I don't want to sin against the Lord, so one of the great ways to avoid it is get the Word in your heart. And when you feel yourself being pulled by sin and you start to be tempted, you can pull up the Word from your heart. Scripture will start to come to your mind. After you read it a few times, it starts to get in your head and your heart, and it starts to affect the way you think and act and live. Make sure you're living for God. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be perfect before you tell someone about Jesus, all right? Okay, when I say make sure you're living for God, what I'm saying is you have to be sincere and you got to be moving in the right direction. Okay, but we need to tell people about Jesus because we live in a hurting, broken world where there are hurting, bruised people with very severe problems. Okay, sometimes when I look around the world that we live in, it's like there are more diverse problems than there have ever been before. It's like there are just more kinds of pain. There are deeper hurts that we're dealing with than have ever been in the world before. Amen. And I'm telling you, this world needs a Savior. This world needs a Savior. Amen. So many of us here tonight have experienced it for ourselves, that the way things used to be were, I was heading for a train wreck. But when Jesus got a hold of our lives, he changed things for the better. And now I can't imagine life without him. Amen. This world needs a Savior. And the only way they're going to know that there is a Savior for them is if we tell them, is if we preach the gospel, is if we let them know that Jesus can make the difference. Amen. We've got the greatest mission in the world, church. We've got the most exciting mission, the most challenging mission, and it's to point people towards Christ. It's to show people the love of God. Amen. What could be more exciting? And oftentimes, challenging. Oftentimes, I'm not going to lie to you, church, it's a struggle. Okay, this is not mission easy. This is mission extremely difficult. Hey, and you know why? Because sometimes we're not perfect. Sometimes I'm not perfect. Sometimes you're not perfect. But we have a mission, and it's to show others the love of God, the joy of the Holy Ghost. It's to teach people the teachings of Jesus Christ. It's to make disciples. It's to save some, pulling them out of the fire. Because some people are going through a fire, and they don't know how to get out. And they're turning every way, and all they see is flames. And it's our responsibility, our God-given mandate to reach. To reach. Amen. Jesus, the Great Commission is recorded in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Teach all nations. Whatever I've told you, tell others. Don't keep it to yourselves. Teach others. Baptize them. Get them in the water. Amen. If you're here tonight and you haven't been baptized yet, get yourself in the water. Amen. I don't know if you've seen that. There's a video floating around on YouTube or somewhere of a little boy who was about to get baptized, and the preacher was speaking too long for this child's patience, and he said, "I'll do it myself." And he baptized himself. He just went down and got... I maybe don't recommend you do it that way, but maybe have the same kind of attitude of, "I need to get this done." Amen. Amen. We need to have a heart for people. We need to have a heart for people that God loves. Amen. The opening passage we read mentioned having compassion and making a difference. And what a difference compassion makes to a person that hasn't received it in a while. What a difference it makes in the life of someone who's frustrated and doesn't know where to turn and feels like they're banging their head against a brick wall and doing the same thing every day and getting no results. Amen. Sometimes living in this world can be hard. All right? It's frustrating. But when somebody is frustrated and hurting and you offer them compassion and take a little time to understand what's going on and take a little time to understand what they're going through, it makes such a huge difference. What a difference a little compassion has on people who are hurting and struggling and don't know all of the answers and don't know where all the provision's going to come from and don't know how the bills are going to get paid and don't know how their family's going to get taken care of. What a difference a little compassion makes. What a difference a little love and kindness can make. Amen. What a difference it makes. Matthew 20, 32 and 34. "And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they follow him." That's incredible. When Jesus touched these blind men's eyes, Their eyes were opened, and they followed him. They followed him. Amen. When Jesus touches your blind eyes and you begin to see, you're going to want to follow him. Amen. I wanted to follow him. I still do. Amen. And when people begin to see the goodness of God in people's lives, when people begin to see what a transformed life is like, amen, I think when people begin to see the joy of the Lord, they start to ask some important questions. People start to ask themselves, what do you have that I don't have? Why are you happy and I'm miserable? And the answer, we know the answer. The answer is, it's just Jesus. That when I get into the presence of God, when I get into worship, when I begin to talk to the Lord, and fear begins to melt away, and worry begins to get pushed aside, and I begin to feel the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and I begin to understand that God has everything under control, that the difficult circumstances are not too difficult for God who brings victory in your life. Amen. When we begin to express that to other people, I think some people will begin to get interested. I'm going to tell you a sad truth. Not everybody you witness to is going to get saved. And as a believer, that is the great tragedy of our age. That is the most tragic thing. And it ought to affect us, really. That's the great tragedy of our age, is that when we begin to express the love of God and people say, no, that's not for me, that's the single most heartbreaking thing that we deal with as believers, okay? That's it. But on the other side of the coin, the single most joyful event we can witness is somebody giving their heart and their life to God. Amen. Is when someone decides to follow Jesus, when somebody decides that they're going to be all in, no matter what life throws their way, no matter what comes, they're going to be excited about Jesus and have faith in God. That's the most joyful event that the church can witness. That's our mission, is to show people Jesus Christ. That's our mission, to reach into a fiery furnace and do whatever we can to pull people out. Man, Jesus made it very plain. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Jesus didn't just come to make us happy. He didn't just come to make us feel better. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's our mission. That's the church's mission. Is it mission impossible? No, it's not. Is it mission extremely difficult? Yes, it is. But with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. With God, even the most hardened heart can turn to Christ. With God, even the most stout, stubborn skeptic can come to faith. Even the person who hates God and hates the church and seems to hate everyone can have their heart changed by the power of God. Luke 15 and 7, Jesus was teaching them still about the lost. He said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. That's a challenging verse of scripture to me, okay? There will be joy in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Don't misunderstand the scripture. God is very, 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 very happy that you're saved and that you're living righteously. Okay? But there's even more joy than that. When one soul decides to say, I'm not living this way anymore. I can't do this anymore. I need a Savior. Amen. And our attitude needs to reflect the attitude of heaven. As the church, we are the body of Christ. When there is even the faintest, remotest possibility that somebody can come to faith, we need to be all over that. We need to do everything we can. We need to do everything we can. So in conclusion, if the music could come back, I'm really getting ready to wrap up. You and I have a godly mandate, a mission in the church to reach for people, to reach for souls, to reach for lives, to do whatever we can to heal hurts, to meet needs, to express the love of God so that people who never knew about it before begin to know about it. Amen. Just quick aside. You know, before I came to church, I didn't even know Pentecost was a word, let alone a day on which 120 people were filled with the Holy Ghost and then added 3,000 more a little later. I didn't know Pentecost was a thing, okay? I had never heard of that before. Amen. But because somebody invited me to church, and I said, sure, whatever, why not? Amen. It changed my life forever. Amen. Who knows where I would be today if I never met Jesus? Okay. Everybody think about that for a second. I'll let you, it's a scary thought. Okay, because somebody invited me to church, my life was changed forever. Jesus got a hold of my heart, and he changed me from the inside out. Now, here's the thing. You and I cannot save anybody. We can't do it. I can't do it. Amen. It doesn't matter how great a message I preach. I can't save a single soul. I can't do it. And you can't either. What we can do is reach for people and point them to Christ. Reach for people, point them to Christ so he can save them. I mean, again, Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What he told the church was, okay, go out, tell them everything I've told you. Tell them about doctrine. Tell them what I've taught you. Make disciples. You baptize them, but Jesus is the one who does the saving. Amen. When you get in the presence of God and you start to let the Spirit of Christ move on your heart and the Lord starts to speak in your heart, it's like nothing else. Amen. When God begins to get a hold of you and you allow your heart to be open to his presence, because God will never force you to do anything, all right? But there's nothing like it. There's nothing else in this world like it. Amen. Mark 2, 3 through 5 says, and they come unto him, Jesus, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born or carried of four. This guy was so invalid, he couldn't walk. His friends had to carry him. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. These four guys brought their friend to Jesus to be healed of a need that he had. And Jesus fixed an entire other problem altogether. Amen. They said, if we bring this guy to Jesus, we've heard that he's a miracle worker. Our friend can walk again. Amen. Jesus saw their faith, but he said, look, you've got another need that's so much more pressing here. It's your soul. Okay, whether you can walk or not, that's temporary. But your soul, that's forever. That's eternity. And Jesus said, okay, we're going to fix the real problem. And I will fix your temporary problems too. But that guy never could have got to Jesus on his own. Never. He might have, no way. Without a few friends who were creative and clever and determined. They were determined. Because they could have given up when they said, oh, there's no space, it's too crowded. They said, no, we're going over. We have to get to Jesus one way or another. Nothing is going to stop us from getting our friend to Jesus Christ. Nothing is going to stop us from doing everything we can to make sure that he gets to Jesus. They were determined. We need to be determined too. Amen. There might be someone that you've been talking to for a long time or praying for a long time. There might be somebody that you've been witnessing to for a long time and so far nothing. Don't give up. Do not give up. Do not give up. That is the worst thing you could do. Don't give up on them. Amen. Look, let me tell you something. Their salvation, it's not truly in your hands. It's not. Only Jesus can save them. And because they have a thing called free will, they have a choice in the matter. But the worst thing we could do is give up on someone. Man, keep praying for them. Keep trying to reach and pull them out of the fire. Keep trying to show them the love of God. Keep trying to show them the love of Jesus. Amen. There's so much hurt and so much pain in this world. But we know the remedy's not all that complicated. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's the cross. It's mercy. It's grace. It's the power of the blood. It's the power of the name. Amen. We know the answer is Jesus. And I think we need to have a bit of a balanced outlook. Let's all stand tonight. I truly believe that the Christian, the faithful, the believer, we need to walk in the joy of the Lord. Okay? If you know Jesus, you ought to be happy about it, okay? It should give you some pep in your step. It should make you glad. It should make you happier than hot dogs, okay? The joy of the Lord is our strength. But when it comes to the lost, there has to be something in our hearts that's just a little bit broken. There has to be something in our hearts that just cries out a little bit and says, Lord Jesus, do something in their life. Amen. As much as we're called to be a joyful people, there's got to be a desire in our heart to see lives transformed that causes us to be a little bit disturbed, that causes us to get a little bit upset. When I begin to think of people who could be saved and they're not, they could know Jesus and they don't, it should do something in our hearts. Amen. And if it doesn't, then we need to repent and get back into the presence of God and say, Lord, I want to care about who you care about. Lord, you came to seek and save the lost. I want to be a part of that mission. I want to be a part of what you're doing in this world. I want to be a part of the gospel of Christ in someone's life. It should bother us to the point of deciding that we can try to make a difference. it should disturb us to the point that we're going to do something about it. I mean, you know how a compass always points north unless it's broken? I don't like a broken compass. It confuses me and upsets me. Okay? When I see a compass that's, you turn it and it just keeps turning in whatever direction you turn, it's clearly not working. Okay? But when you have a compass, you want to figure out where you're going, you turn and the compass keeps pointing north. Wherever I turn, it keeps pointing the same direction. All right? As believers, we need to be the compass that always points to the cross. Okay, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what direction we're looking right now, we're still pointing people towards the cross. We're not turned about with every wind of doctrine. We're not focused on whatever's going on in the world around us. We're focused on the cross. We're pointing towards the cross. We're obsessed with the cross. We're addicted to the ministry. Wherever we're looking, we're really looking to point people towards Jesus. Hallelujah. So with that in mind, we're going to take some time to pray tonight. And a very simple altar call. I just want us to make that our prayer. God, use me to bring somebody to the cross. Lord, use me to bring someone to Jesus. Use me, Lord, to bring somebody to a knowledge of the gospel, a knowledge of the love of God. Lord, somebody who never knew that they were loved, God, use me to let them know that, hey, there's a God in heaven who still cares, who still transforms lives, who still makes the difference today. Lord, use me. God, next time I'm not sure if I should speak or stay silent, Lord, let me speak. Next time I'm not sure what to do, God, give me the wisdom to know what to do. Lord, next time there's an opportunity to tell somebody how good Jesus has been to me, Lord, let me tell them. Amen. Let that be our heart cry tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, you've been so, so good to us. And thank you, Lord, for all of your wonderful blessings. God, your mercy and love, your grace, your kindness. Lord, tonight I pray that you'd, Lord, tonight I pray that you'd, Lord, tonight I pray that you'd, Lord, tonight.